Well, let's start over in the 1 John. We'll start in chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. For he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, a lot of these verses in 1 John, when I was younger, depending who was preaching, could really bring a lot of fear and condemnation. Especially when I was just starting out serving God, I would be so fearful that my desire for things of the world, worldliness, lustful things, you know, all the worldly stuff was making me separated from God. And I remember praying. Imagine this, you know, just in your late teens, saying, God, please, please come back when I'm having a good day, you know. Because back then I had more bad days than good days. And I didn't want God to come back on a bad day, because then I wouldn't go to heaven. I want him to come back maybe on a Sunday, you know. And then I have a better chance at least of having a good day that day, or I can go to heaven, you know. And religion. Can you imagine being a teenager and feeling that condemned? You know how dumb we are as teenagers. You're figuring things out. You're trying to find out which foot goes first. You're trying to figure out who you are. You're full of questions and insecurities. You know, God's not afraid of questions. I was afraid to ask God questions. There were moments where I would wonder if God was real or not. It's all part of the process of growing in God. And I say, God, please come back when I'm having a good day. Because I thought I lost my salvation every time I had a bad thought. I haven't heard it preached. If you have a bad thought, if you go to church and pay your tithe and worship God on Sunday and you leave the parking lot and you get angry and against someone else as you leave that parking lot and you have a car wreck and die, you're going to go to hell. How many know that holiness is a process? That when God first found you, or you first found him, you were far from perfect. But it's amazing, even when you were far from perfect, he still accepted you and chose to be your father. See? Even while you were a mess, he approved you to be his child. So these verses used to puzzle me with, okay, what's love? Love the world. Does that mean, do I love it? Do I have passion for it? Or do I like it? Then if we jump over to chapter 3 and verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him does what? Purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. Are you confused yet? Are you convicted yet? Let's have a salvation call right now. If you sinned today, you're of the devil. So what I've been learning, or growing, I guess, in the idea or the revelation that God is my Father. And as I've been growing in that revelation that he loves me, that he accepted me as his child while I was a mess. See? As I'm beginning to discover how much of my... See, Paul, when he wrote, and John, but especially Paul, we'll get into some of Paul's teaching here in a bit, but he had to take his revelation and put it on paper. And that's where we get our scripture from his writings. Is Mike Banks coming up here? Mike is going to be my outward man today. Give him a big hand as he comes. So like I said, he's a little taller so you can see him, and a little thinner because I've been fasting. My inward man is bigger because he's been praying. So this is my inward man. This here is my outward man. See? When Adam walked on the earth, his outward man and his inward man, just like you, they're connected. DNA connected right to the cellular level. Your outward man, your inward man, you have an inward hand and an outward hand, and a natural mind and a spiritual mind, and you have spiritual eyes and natural eyes, and your inward man, when Adam walked the face of the earth, his outward man followed him around. See, he was created to live in both worlds at the same time, the spiritual realm and the natural realm. That's why he could walk with God and talk with God, and also pet the cow and pick the fruit, and he could do both at the same time. His consciousness was in his spiritual mind. His natural body and natural soul followed him around. He did not know he was naked until he sinned. I believe his consciousness went from his spiritual mind into his natural mind. And then he realized he was naked. Condemning all of us to live out of our natural mind. See. But when you were born again, that nature of death was pulled out of you, and God birthed a new spirit in you, meaning that you actually died the day you were born again. And you were created a newness of life, resurrected. But you're still stuck with this natural body. See, this ugly guy behind me, I call him the monkey on my back. Ugly monkey. He's Alan Taylor. He's the leftover of Alan Taylor. Alan Taylor died the day I knelt down and was born again. The core that made me Alan Taylor, that came from my natural family, that came from the family of Adam, died the day I was born again. you have to worry about two deaths in this life. The first death is the death of your spirit, separated from God for eternity. The second death is the falling off of your natural body. See, those who are born again, wave your hand at me today. When you were born again, because you humbled yourself, you put to death, you face the first death without fear. You never have to face it again. That Alan Taylor died the day I was born again. But I was still trapped with his body. And until I face my second death, where this body falls off of me, or when Jesus comes in the twinkling of an eye, this body is my enemy. This body, my flesh, fights me to tell me who I am, where I should go, what I should do. This body, natural body, tells me where life is, where joy is, where peace is. But who I really am is this inward man. See? Come this way, outward man. Follow me around. Okay. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2:1. Chapter 1, verse 15, sorry. Do not love the world or the things of the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And if the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. See, the world, Adam, and the things of this world, is the father of my natural body. But God is the father of my spirit. You have a natural mind and a spiritual mind. When I got hold of meditating the Word of God, I thought, all right, I'm going to read this book 50 times. And I started to get frustrated after about 30. Because I tell myself, you know, after 30 times of reading this, I should remember being here before. I thought for sure by the time I hit 30, I'd have it memorized. I thought, I don't even recognize this. 40 times, 50 times, it's like, man, But see, when you meditate the Word, what happens is it goes through your natural mind and into your spiritual mind. So when you're out witnessing to someone and all of a sudden all these verses come to you, you ever have that happen? That's not coming from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can't really give you a scripture verse that you haven't heard before. That's coming from your spiritual mind. It's in there. Your spiritual mind is so capable that for the rest of eternity, you and I are going to learn something new about God every day, and we won't forget it. You may forget your car keys. That's your natural mind. But your spiritual mind, don't forget anything. See? You have a natural soul. We read about it when we read in Galatians about the flesh, the lust of the flesh. A natural soul has a fake love. See, it comes from the animal kingdom. A mama grizzly bear will give her life for her cubs, just like a mama human will give her life for her babies. There is a natural, chemically based love that the world walks in because that's all they have. That's part of your natural body, your natural soul. It has a love, it has a joy, it has a peace when circumstances are okay. But when you got born again, you brought to life your spirit man. And in your spirit, you have a natural soul that gives you access to the fruit of your spirit. A love that the world has no idea what that is. A peace that the world has no idea what that is. A joy that the world will never experience. See, a kindness and a gentleness. All these fruit can come from your spirit, your spiritual soul. So we say we need to mortify our flesh. What are we talking about mortifying? This old man right here. This old body. Now, I'd like to say that I'm putting him to death, but really I'm positionally putting him to death, and because until the day I die, or the day that Jesus comes and gets us, I'm stuck with this monkey on my back. So what I have to do is wrestle with him to put him under my foot, to say, you are no longer me. I'm stuck with you, but you belong to this world, and everything in this world, everything in this world that belonged to Adam, every tree, everything, the universe, all this sun, all the whole universe that was created for the family of Adam, Jesus, the final Adam, when he has finally has complete victory over everything after the 1,000-year reign, he'll have complete legal ownership of everything that came to the first Adam. The final Adam will take it and fold it up like a garment, set it up on fire, and it will be done with. And he will start with the new family, the family of God. See? So this body right here, this old body, it belongs to this world. It's going to stay in this world. The chemically based soul is going to stay in this world and die, but God is going to take me to another world. Now, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner the love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. See, the world can't comprehend what God is about. The world cannot comprehend who you are on the inside. Beloved, we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. See, we don't know quite yet what we're going to be. But we know that when he is revealed, when we stand before Christ, we shall be like him. So we don't know yet what it looks like to be like Christ until we see him. But when we see him, we're going to find out that we are going to be like him. Are you still with me? And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We have a hope, say hope, that we will be like Christ. But it's not because we're born again. It's because we purify ourselves. Now, in America, as Jason says, in our American Christianity, there is a great war going on that says that God accepts me as I am. Now, you know I'm a good grace preacher, and I'm a good father and lovey-dovey preacher, but I don't want to be mistaken for the wrong kind of love. Because the Father loves me. He does not love my outward man. He is my Father, my spiritual man. He is the Father of my spirit. The world is the father of my flesh. Now the war that's going on in the body of Christ today is the outward man is trying desperately to get God to accept it as his child. It is fighting desperately to say, I can live and God will accept me. He'll accept my worship. He'll accept my offerings. But God has told us to put this man to death. He is not the father to my natural soul. He's the father to my spiritual soul. I'm making sense, okay? So where does lust come from? The flesh. This ugly old monkey on my back. I'm stuck with him. Until Jesus comes, I'm stuck with him. And see, religion is birthed through the flesh, trying to be accepted by God. See, the thing about worship, let me tell you about worship a little bit. Because obviously we're going to have to go into more worship. The way Mark's been preaching and We all have to accept the fact we have to spend time in private worship. But there's good private, there's good worship and there's bad worship. No, that's not really bad worship. There's fake worship. See? There's a worship. My son, when he comes to me and says, "I love you," I appreciate that. But there is a time where he did something he wasn't supposed to. And he pulled the "I love you" card. And what he was trying to say was, "Just let me do what I want, and I love you." See, worship, the war in America, Christianity, is I'm trying to build a case to worship God with my soul and not have to put it to death. And to get God to accept that. See, and we can feel like a fraud because we're trying to worship God and get Him to accept me and my natural soul as part of me. I've been in, I don't know how many services where the preacher and the praise and worship's goal was to get us emotionally in hope and emotionally excited to trust that things were going to change and the truth of it. Doesn't matter how excited I was, nothing changed. Just for that end of the service, I was like, "Oh, yes, God's going to do something different. Hallelujah, I won't have to live like this forever. Yes, hallelujah." And nothing changed. Because change is impossible to let come. There is no change. It's impossible for change to come with your natural soul, natural body attached. See. He is the Father of my spirit. When I see Him, I'll be like Him. And in 1 John, what he's saying is you are on a pathway to holiness. You and I are on a pathway of purifying ourselves from our old soul, from letting it live. We're on that pathway. And if we will pursue holiness, see, when we see Him, we won't be condemned because we'll be like Him. He has provided for us the blood of Christ. That as long as I don't accept this soul as part of me and try to bring my soul before God, my natural body, my natural soul, and say, "Okay, God, we're here to worship. We're here to worship, me and my outward man." See, we're frauds. And we feel like a fraud. We don't feel like a father and a son, a child, me, a child talking to my father and receiving from him. I feel like a fraud where I'm trying to get God to accept us together. And so when we approach Him for a miracle, when we approach Him for a healing, when we approach Him for finances, when we approach Him for a need, when we approach Him for forgiveness, when we approach Him in worship, we're approaching God trying to, "Please accept us, please accept us, please." We're constantly trying to get God to do something He cannot do. But when I make up my mind, which really wasn't my fault. It was when I ran into Pastor Dave and he said, "If you pray in tongues, it will change you." Praying in the Holy Ghost made my mind up for me. It says, we're going down a path where you're going to fight that guy that's on your back. Then what you learn is it's okay to struggle with him. It's okay to struggle with lust. It's okay to struggle with fear. It's okay to struggle with anger. When I say okay, I mean it's not acceptable that this is who I am. But because you fall to things, God is still able to be the Father to your spirit without losing one instant, one moment of time with Him, because the blood of Christ is able to forgive us of all sins. The sin He's talking about here, that you are part of the devil, is when you say, "This natural body is me. And what he says I am is who I am. It's okay for me to let my natural flesh run and lead me. And I will go worship God. I worship you. I love you." You're not worshiping God saying, "I'm worship you to be transformed. I'm worshiping you to spend time. You're saying, I worship you, please accept us. And you'll feel like a fraud because you are a fraud. He is not the Father to your natural body. The world is that Father. Am I preaching okay? But the day you decide to turn yourself over to praying in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost picks a fight with you. It says, that old body on you, those natural desires, the natural lust, it's full of natural anger and lust. Someone will love you and tell you they don't get their way, then they'll hate you as much as they loved you. That's all chemically based in your natural body, your natural soul. When you decide, this is no longer who I am. My inner man is who I am. My inner man, the nature of who I am, is holiness and purity. See, you can worship God with pureness of heart while you're struggling with issues of your soul. You're not a fraud because you are saying, I'm worshiping you from my spirit, and I am fighting off this soul. I may fail today, but I can go freely, boldly into the holiness of God because my spirit is fathered by Him. See? This ugly old flesh is going to fight you. Saying, take me in there with you. Take me in there with you. It's okay for your emotions, your natural emotions, to follow your spirit. And see, you all get it because you can find, you once you pray for a while, someone will come preach or do something to try to get you excited. And you can't get excited. You wonder what's wrong. I used to run around the building, man. Listen, I sit over there and we have a few people that are runners around here that run. I love when they run. I'm like, go, man, go. I run through you. See, when your natural emotions get excited, that's great. But they need to get excited because your spirit man is learning who it is. That's what they were made for, to follow your spirit. All right, let's go back up here and get obedient. So when he talks about whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and he's talking about you submitting to your natural body, your natural soul, natural desires, and accepting it as part of me. See, when I first started to get the idea of grace, that's the first thing the devil tried to trick me. He said, sin has been done away with once and for all. Hallelujah. There's no such thing as sin. I cannot sin because I'm born again. I can do sinful things, but it's not sin. Hallelujah. I can lie, but I'm not a liar. Because sin has been put away with. And the devil tried to take me down a course of grace, of a soulless grace, a fraudulent grace that says God accepts me for just who I am. And He loves me. What it means was the power of sin to rule over me was broken. And sin, my failings, my lying, my desires of lust, my desires of anger, whatever you may be going through, could not separate me from God anymore. Because they're no longer part of me as long as I fight with them. See? Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. I want to encourage you today that whatever you're battling with, listen, you are not disqualified. Let me say it this way. As long as you're fighting with your natural body, you are never disqualified from going into His presence. Verse 35, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive until it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that will be, shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. In other words, all skin is not the same skin. But there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. Man have skin, birds have feathers, cows have hide, fish has scales. So even in our natural world, we can see different types of bodies. There are also, now remember, Paul's trying to describe what he's learned about his walk with God, of the battle he's been going through. He's trying to clarify what's going on. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. In other words, heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, but in the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in its glory. They're different, is what he's saying. So also in the resurrection of the dead, the body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Now, see, when we pass on from this earth, we don't float around as little ghost-like, cloud-like creatures. You know, when you get to heaven, don't worry, you'll recognize your friends. You know, when it says that in heaven there's no male or female, or he's not talking about we'll be genderless when we get to heaven and look weird or odd. It's meaning there's no positions over each other. Husband is no longer over his wife. Christ is over all of us. We will recognize each other. We will know each other. Okay. The body is sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Adam is the father. The world is the father of your natural body. But Jesus and God is the father. Because of Jesus, God is the father of your spirit, man. So when this natural body falls off of us, we are stuck with this inward man that does not have a body. And what God is saying here, what Paul is saying here, is this natural body will be sown. It will die like a seed. Thank God for your natural body. It's the only reason you're here. If it wasn't for your parents, you would not be in existence. So when this natural body dies, it is the seed that God needs to give you a new body. See, in eternity, we don't walk around with our inner man unclothed. He gives us a new body that's incorruptible, that doesn't fight us, doesn't push us. It is not a war every day with your soul, because your soul will be new, your outward man. See, am I making sense here? Okay. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. See. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have been born the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. We are in a process of transforming. When we get to heaven, this earth will no longer be our home. And our body will no longer be our home either. This natural earthly body is made of dust. Whatever created this body came from this earth. Do you understand? Everything came from this earth. The chair you're sitting on came from this earth. The walls came from something from this earth. The cars you drive came from the earth. Everything we eat has come from this earth. It is what made this body this outward man, this flesh is from this earth. But your spirit is not from this earth. Your spirit man is from heaven and born again. The born again spirit man is from heaven. And as we have borne the image of a man of dust, we shall also bear the image of a heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, right here, cannot what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Every believer will be changed. And we will be given a heavenly body. Not a one that floats around. Our inner man will be clothed with another body that does not fight us, that did not come from Adam, that came from the final Adam. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You will never face death again for the rest of eternity. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one more scripture here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. What I taught on this morning out of Romans 8 had to do with the last part of the chapter. It says, who shall separate us, verse 35, from the love of Christ? Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? I thought that meant, well, nothing's going to separate Christ from me. God's love, he loves me, nothing can separate him from me. But I realized he wasn't talking about Christ being separated from me. He was talking about me being separated from Christ. Because it says, what's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35. Shall tribulation? Is tribulation going to separate you from his love? Or distress, or persecutions, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? What Paul is talking about here in Romans is all the war, all the battle that comes to try to get you to pull away from receiving God as someone who loves you. And to pull back under a religious mindset that says you have to earn his love. See? And what qualifies this verse is that if you pray in the Holy Ghost, if you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit, you will never be separated from his love. I spent most of my life separated from his love. I spent most of my life thinking I was unworthy, thinking I was not qualified enough to receive freely from God. I would approach him with scripture. I would approach him with prayers. I would approach God. But I felt like I was approaching him like a fraud, trying to get God to accept me with my failings. Until I realized what I'm teaching today, I don't have to get God to accept me with my failings when I choose that this old body is not part of me. He's the Father of my spirit, and that is who qualifies me to go before him and receive freely all that he has for me. And the enemy brings a war against us to try to convince you that you are not worthy to receive from God. He tries to convince you that God is indifferent. He is way off. He is God of the Old Testament, away, far away from you. He is not your father. I told you about my son Harrison when we were out with my father, his grandfather, and he said, when someone came up and said, "Hey, Ken," talking to my granddad, my father, his grandfather. And Harrison looked at me and said, "Dad, does Grandpa have a name?" I said, yes, he does. It's Ken." "Oh." Then a little while later, came back to me. You could tell he'd been thinking about it. "Daddy, do you have a name?" And I said, "Yes, it's Daddy." "That's what's going to be the rest of your life." I said, "But Harrison," I said, "before you were born, people called me Alan. But the day you were born, I became Daddy. See, the rest of my life, that's who I am, because I have a son. I have a child." Well, in the Old Testament, God was God because no one was born again. He had to speak to their natural body, their natural mind. See, that's why the war in American Christianity is trying to get us to prophesy out of our soulish man, because our soul understands God as God. Our soul, our natural soul, wants the law because it understands the law, because it understands God of the law. Our soul wants to prophesy and preach and minister and gain finances. Our natural person wants to work under an Old Testament relationship with God because he understands God that way. But the moment you were born again, God became more than just God to you. He became your Father. He is the Father to your spirit. And that peace you feel on the inside of you when you're going through things, that is your spirit being fathered by God. Your soulish man wants to fight you because he wants to be accepted by God. Religious, not just religious, whole movements in America today, well, around the world, but whole movements of our Christianity, of ministry, are walking around doing good works, but it's all out of their natural person. See? Trying to get God to come. You want to be blessed? Well, don't look at God as a father. You have to look at him as God. You have to get him to come. See, whole teachings, whole movements are birthed under prophetic movements that are all naturally based, soulish based. But yet in you is a spirit man who God is the Father of. See, the enemy is trying to get us to pull away from God as our Father and accept him as God of the Old Testament. So let's look here in Romans 8 again. We'll start in verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." I don't mind suffering for something if I'm going to reap a reward for it. You know, I'm pretty good. My wife's better, but I'm pretty good at budgeting. You know, after you go through a few credit card issues, you become better at living on the other end. So now I'm getting pretty good at saving for things. And so when I have received a little bit of money, I just don't go spend it for today. I go and invest it. I put it in a little savings so we can buy something. I suffered today so that I can reap a reward later. See, I don't mind suffering if I'm going to reap a reward. But I don't want to suffer and not reap a reward. Apostle Paul is telling us that the sufferings that we're going through won't even compare to the glory that's going to be revealed. And what qualifies this whole chapter is verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So let's look at verse 18 again. Romans 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Say hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. The whole earth was subjected, condemned, and everything created for Adam is going to self-destruct, including your body, this old body. Right here. Look in Romans chapter 6. Verse 6. Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old man, I did a little chart when I was learning this, and I drew a little body, little man with feet and hands and head, and then I drew an inward man. See, I was trying to learn what was what, and inside that inward man is a little nature, a little circle. That's the nature, see. It says, knowing this, that our old man, see, the old man here is talking about your old nature, was crucified with him. That's part of you that died. That the body of sin, again, the old nature, might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. How many have died and have been resurrection? See? That old nature, that old core of you. People who are not born again still have an inward man. That's where you get spiritualists. They learn to tap into their spirit. But the nature of their spirit is dark because they have not been born again. Verse 23 of Romans 8. I'm sorry, Romans 8, verse 23. Not only that, not only is the creation we're in, the earth groaning until Christ comes. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, again, how many's nature? Old man has died and you were given newness of life. Raise your hand. Hold it high because we will change our service here if I don't see a hand up real quick. Not only is the world, because of Adam's sin, the whole universe been subject to groanings and waiting until Christ comes and redeems all of mankind, redeems everything that Adam failed to, and takes the children of God and gives us a new earth. Not only does he take us, see, this whole earth has been subject. The Garden of Eden was made to produce and provide without labor. And then Adam sinned, the whole earth changed. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, small s, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Or as Pastor Dave says, body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Oh God, if I just didn't have this body with me, if you can just take it away from me, I would be fine. I wouldn't struggle anymore. I could serve you then. I'd be free. What are we waiting for? What's our struggle? What is our struggle with this old monkey that's on your back? You're stuck with him. But there's hope. There's hope. See? Now, you can wait until Jesus comes before you start walking into holiness. You and I could wait until Jesus comes, until we start walking in purity. Or we can start today. Grace does not make a way for God to accept your natural body as who you are. Grace makes a way for you to overpower your natural body and to make it submit. Grace is God's strength in you to not just discipline yourself, see, but to discipline yourself to prayer, to discipline ourselves to worship, to discipline ourselves to the Word, to discipline ourselves to fasting. Grace is our power to discipline ourselves to confession, because those are the things that help us to put our flesh where it belongs, to mortify it. You say amen. Amen. Verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now that word groan here does not mean, oh, I hate myself. Oh, I'm such a jerk. Your wife may be saying that. That may be their groanings, I don't know. But this word groan is powerful. This word groan is you refusing to accept your natural weaknesses as who you are anymore. This word groan is you refusing to accept your natural body, your natural soul as part of you, and you're stuck with it the rest of your life. You're just stuck failing to that thing over and over again. You are just going to be shy your whole life. You are just going to be depressed for your whole life. You might as well just accept it that you're going to be a broke prosperity guy your whole life. You might as well accept that your business is never going to prosper. Your family's never going to change. See, you're this word groan says, I don't accept this as who I am anymore, and I'm going to groan and fight it until I make it submit. I don't have to wait and live with this my whole life. I do not have to submit to my flesh and my weaknesses my whole life. There is hope in me that I am on a path that is going to help me to overcome every weakness that I fail to, every struggle that I go through. I may have failed yesterday, but you give me a year and I'll be a different guy. I have to tell myself when I preach, I used to more. I get up and mess up. I'm like, that's okay, that's okay. They'll maybe have me back next year and I'll do better. You have to get over yourself sometimes. You know? Maybe you made a business deal and you lost all your money. That's okay. That's all right. You didn't hear God. That's okay. You don't have to accept who your natural parents made you as who you are anymore. That's what this word groaning means. That you have a natural body, a natural soul that is fighting for you to accept it as part of you. But you don't have to. And even while you're struggling and failing, you're free to go into His presence anytime you want. You're free to receive healing, provision, salvation for your family, because He is the Father of your spirit. Not only that, verse 23, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Yes, I can't wait till I don't have to deal with this monkey. He fights me every day. And I could beat him for 6 months, get lots of victories, but if I give him 1 inch, he's on top of me, leading me around. I mean, I think, man, I got it. I beat him. Woohoo! I put him to death. He doesn't die. You just positionally put him to death. That's why when we fast, you know, you hear your stomach says, feed me, I'm hungry. That's your natural body saying, feed me food. Feed me. And you say, no, you're not in charge. I'm in charge. Because that same voice that says, feed me, it comes from the same place that says, lust. Anger. That's why fasting is so powerful. But I've done great. I've fasted, had victory for a long time, and then I took a break. And it wasn't long. I remember one day, see, I like going to movies. And after a while in the message, the movies just weren't as exciting to me. You know, I still like to go. I like to take my son and that and the stuff. But I had got to a place where I just wasn't even excited about it anymore. And then I took a break. And I remember when I realized that I had taken a break was a movie was coming out and I found a real excitement to go all of a sudden. And I knew it. I had taken my foot off the neck of my flesh. Oh, I can't wait till this body is off of me and I have my new body on me. I'll have no problem believing God. However, the hope is not, that's not the hope. The hope is that I don't have to wait until I die before I have victory over my flesh. That's the hope. The hope is I don't have to wait until Jesus comes before I can find love and real joy and real peace and real victory. I don't have to wait until then before I conquer these areas of weaknesses that I struggle with. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. But why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. What does it say in 1 John? We have a hope that we don't know what he looks like right now, who Jesus looks like. But we have a hope that when we do see him, we will be like him. He who believes this purifies himself. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps in our what? Weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This groanings is, I refuse to accept my natural weaknesses as part of me. And I'm going to fight, and I'm going to kick it, and I'm going to do whatever it takes make it submit to me so I can walk in all that God has for me. That's the hope. And that hope is not just for the ones who were raised right. That hope is not just for the ones who have their act together. That hope is for every single person who gets born again, that you don't have to accept what you're struggling with as part of you. It doesn't matter if you're a drug addict stuck in drugs. It doesn't matter if you're a thief who's robbed and never knew how to handle money. Nothing matters. Because there is a hope, that there is a hope for you that in this life you are going to be able to overcome whatever you are stuck with by your natural body. God did not father your natural body, and therefore he did not father your weaknesses. He fathered your spirit, and your spirit is pure and holy. You can have victory. That's why we pray in tongues. That's why we don't change course. Victory for me is no longer having a big ministry. Victory for me is no longer... I thought the high call was me having a big ministry. Me having lots of money. I thought that was the high call of God. No. The high call of God is me having dominion over my flesh. Glory to God. We can do this. Let me say this a different way. You can do this. And in this process, because you probably found out already, the day after you were born again, you found out that your natural body was not born again. And you still struggle with things. Do you know that you need to quit thinking about that? You need to quit judging yourself for that. You're free to fail and still go into His presence and be received wholeheartedly from God, as long as you don't try to bring your soul in with you. As long as you say, I failed, I have the blood of Christ to forgive me, I'm free to receive from God today. I don't know if you're getting this or not, but there is such a liberty when you understand that your natural body is no longer you. And you don't have to put up with it anymore. When I started to learn that I can go freely and receive love from my Father, even while I'm struggling, it released me. I wake up every morning in peace. Me and my Father are at peace. Every morning. No matter what I do. No matter what I didn't do. I wake up at peace with my Father. See, because I have a hope that even though I'm struggling, I'm getting victory every day over something. See. My little boy Harrison, even when he gets in trouble, not for one moment does he ever think that his father is going to reject him. Even when he's in trouble. That's the hope. That's our hope. When I see Him, I'll be like Him. That's my hope. I may not be like Him today, but when I see Him, I will be like Him. Because I will not accept my weaknesses as who I am anymore. Why don't you stand with me? Thank you, Jesus. Let's go ahead and lift our hands just for a moment. Lift your hands for a moment. I'm going to pray here. That the same peace that I have begun to live in with my Father is going to fall on you too. That not just for the moment, but I pray that some of this revelation is coming to you. That you can struggle and still receive every ounce of love from your Father. You can worship with Him and not feel like a fraud, because you're not one. You can go boldly into His presence just after you fail, because you know who you are and who He is. Father, right now, I thank You that You love us. I thank You that we don't have to be afraid of You. We do not have to fear rejection from You. For the struggles we're having with our flesh. So this morning as we close, I feel to pray that that part of relationship of not being afraid to struggle and not being afraid of our Father because we're struggling, is here for us right now. So as we lift our hands, we thank you for loving us so much. We thank you for being our Father. We thank you that we're free today to be fathered by God, even while we're struggling. And we don't have to be afraid of rejection. Thank you for that right now. Jesus' name. You are not alone. He is with you. You are not by yourself in your struggle. He is with you. We'll just stay here just for a few more moments, just like this in this presence. Maybe you felt ashamed or felt condemned over your struggles. This is the time just to lift your hands and reconnect with your Father and build some hope in your heart that whatever you're struggling with on this walk of prayer, you're not going to stay the same forever. Depression, anxiety, fear, loneliness, isolated, judged by your past. You can have hope. Let that hope build in you this morning. That's no longer who you are, and you're not only forgiven of it, you're going to walk out of it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we worship you. We thank you for making your Father our Father. We love you and glorify you. We worship you. Thank you, Father. I'm going to open up the altar for prayer, if you would like prayer.